This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, salatu wassalam ala rasulih kareem wa ba'd. Brothers, sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Last lesson, we covered Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu embracing Islam. That Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was regarded as the first adult to embrace Islam. There's one point or one issue that we did not cover last week, and that was, who was the first person to actually embrace Islam of all individuals? The vast majority of the scholars actually are of the opinion that it was Khadija radiallahu anha. But then the ikhtilaf is regarding who was after her. So there's a group that say Ali radiallahu anhu, and there's a group that say Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. There's a couple of narrations. For instance, there's one narration in the Jami of Imam Tirmidhi where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, addressing the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, he said to them that I was the first one to embrace Islam and nobody objected. In another narration related by Ibn Hajar in Al-Isaba, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu actually speaks directly to Ali. He says to Ali, I was the first one to embrace Islam, meaning before you I embraced Islam, and Ali radiallahu anhu did not object. In reality, I think the words of the son of Ali radiallahu anhu really sum it up. And his name was Muhammad al-Hanafiya. And Muhammad al-Hanafiya was once asked, was Abu Bakr the first one to embrace Islam? He said, no. Then they said, then why is it that Abu Bakr, you know, is always treated with this kind of superiority? He said, because Abu Bakr embraced Islam the day that he embraced Islam, but nobody's Islam was equal to the Islam of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And that's why. But the ulama do a conformity, a tatbiq between the narration. They say that out of the women, the first person to embrace Islam was Khadija radiallahu anha. Out of the adult males, the first adult male to embrace Islam was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And out of the children, the first one was Ali radiallahu anhu. And out of the slaves, the first one, or the freed slaves, the first one was Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu. So that's how they create a conformity regarding all the different narrations. Now, what was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu like when he embraced Islam? This was subhanAllah unique. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu embraces Islam. Soon as he embraces Islam, he starts with the da'wah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ عَيَةً, convey from me even if it's one verse. I don't know if Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu knew any verses, or he knew a handful of verses, or how many actually verses were revealed at that time. But whatever Abu Bakr had, that iman propelled him to go out and give da'wah. So he went out to give da'wah, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was a likable individual. He had a large social network. People liked him. People trusted him. People knew that Abu Bakr, if you did business with Abu Bakr, you know, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would be fair. People loved the company of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And this is why it's very important to have good people who are your friends. And Abu Bakr had some amazing friends. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu embraces Islam and he goes out and starts giving the da'wah. Now, what kind of people embrace Islam on the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? Let me give you a few names. Zubair ibn al-Awwam, Uthman ibn Affan, Talha ibn Ubaydillah, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, and also Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Now, these names, what do these names mean? To some, they may mean nothing. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this dunya and he guaranteed 10 people Jannah. So the Messenger of Allah, out of the 100,000 Sahaba approximately, there were 10 people that the Messenger of Allah left this dunya and he guaranteed them Jannah. Out of those 10 who were guaranteed Jannah, six of them are the names that I have mentioned. Six of the people that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this dunya and he was pleased with, and he guaranteed them Jannah, the Ashra Mubashara, six of them embraced Islam on the hand of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Besides them, there are another four. Abu Bakr is one, Ali, Umar, and Sayyid bin Zayd. Imagine this. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ali radiallahu anhu one day, he said, "Oh Ali, if one person embraces Islam because of you, it is better than red camels." Red camels was the most expensive and most beloved commodity to the Arabs. There was nothing that they loved more than camels. And the most expensive type of camels were the red camels. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying to Abu Bakr, if one person attains guidance through you, it is better than red camels. Now, let me mention what these people were like. Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu. Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu was the cousin of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every Nabi has a disciple, and my disciple is Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu. He embraced Islam at a very young age. So what his family would do, they would tie him up and they would light a fire underneath him, and then they would hang him over the fire and he would choke on the smoke. And they would tell him, turn away from your religion. He remained firm on his religion until the narration mentioned why. They say, because he realized that if this is what the smoke of this fire of the dunya can do, then what will the fire of the akhirah be like? And he remained firm upon his deen. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a special dua for him. The rumor spread that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away. So he was a young boy. So he left with his sword. So he's dragging his sword behind him. And one of the first people he bumps into in Makkah is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees him, he smiled and he says, Zubair, where are you going? So Zubair, this young boy, is dragging this sword behind him. He said, oh Messenger of Allah, I heard that the mushrikeen had killed you. Messenger of Allah said, so what were you going to do? He said, oh Messenger of Allah, I had taken an oath that I will make the streets of Makkah run with the blood of the mushrikeen. The Messenger of Allah smiled and he made a dua for him. You know what kind of impact this dua had? They say there were only two Sahaba who could ride their horses, control their horses with their feet, and hold swords in both hands and fight equally well with both hands. One was the sword of Allah, Khalid bin Walid, and the other one was Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu. They say on the Battle of Badr that Zubair fought in such a manner, it was such bravery and zeal and vigor that Allah loved it. And on that day, he was wearing a yellow turban. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angels to assist the believers, they were all wearing yellow turbans. So this was Zubair ibn Awwam, embraced Islam on the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Uthman ibn Affan, I hopefully do a course on the life of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, the third Khalif, the son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam twice over. The ulama say that no person in the history of humanity has had the honor of having two daughters of any Nabi in his wedlock besides Uthman ibn Affan. He was known as Dhu Nurain, the one of the two lights, because he was married to two daughters of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then you have Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Now, Talha ibn Ubaidillah is very interesting. Why? Because Talha ibn Ubaidillah belonged to the same clan as Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Bani Taym. So how did Talha embrace Islam? The narrations mention that Talha embraced Islam that because he was a good friend of Abu Bakr. The leader said, go on Talha, go and speak to Abu Bakr. He's left the religion of his forefathers. Tell him this is not good. Bring him back to the religion of his forefathers. So now Talha sets out to go and give dawah to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The last person you really want to give dawah towards kufr is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So he goes to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he says, oh Abu Bakr, why have you left the religion of your forefathers? Come back to the religion. So Abu Bakr said, what are you calling me towards? He said, the worship of Lat. He said, who's Lat? He He said, the daughter of Allah. He said, yeah. He said, then who's the mother? Talha is quiet. He's dumbfounded, gobsmacked. So then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, oh Talha, intelligent man like you, don't you understand? How could you worship idols? Talha embraces Islam there and then. He went out to give da'wah to Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr, the da'i, gives him da'wah and he embraces Islam there and then. He goes back to the mushrikeen, they look at his face and they said he's come back with a different face than that he went with. So Talha ibn Ubaydillah, one of the 10 who was guaranteed Jannah by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Who was Sa'd? Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, many, many virtues. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam guaranteed him Jannah on many, many times. But when he embraced Islam, he was very close to his mother. So his mother was very upset. So she took an oath that she wouldn't eat, she wouldn't drink, and nor would she take a shade. Now imagine this. This is like in the Arab Peninsula, in a sweltering heat. And this, his mother said, I will not eat, I will not drink, and I will not take shade. So she's in the heat all the time. So he says, one day elapsed. My mother's state was very bad. He said, 2 days elapsed, and as seeing my mother, I couldn't bear this. So I went up to my mother and I said, oh my mother, I swear by Allah, if Allah had granted you 99 lives, and you killed yourself 99 times, one after the other, I would still not relinquish this religion. I'm not going to turn away, so it's up to you. Seeing the resolve of her son, she started eating and drinking. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, he was the general at the Battle of Qadisiyah, he was mustajab al-da'wat, and any time he made a dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua. Then Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu, Abu Ubaidah, la ilaha illallah, amazing personality. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu would say, because Abu Ubaidah passed away before him, Umar would say, if Abu Ubaidah was still alive today, I would choose nobody else as the Khalifa besides Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in his virtue, imagine this, لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَمِينَ وَأَمِينُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ أَبُو عَبَيْدَةُ بْنُ الْجَرَّاحِ. He said, every ummah has a trustworthy individual, and the ameen and the trustworthy person of this ummah is Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. And then you had Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, also one of the 10 who was guaranteed Jannah by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the 6 that Umar ibn al-Khattab chose to be one of the Khalif after him. And then you had Arqam. Arqam, if you recall, Darul Arqam, we covered in one of the previous lessons. Darul Arqam, he embraced Islam on the hands of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Uthman bin Ma'zun, Badri Sahabi. In his virtue, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said when he passed away, the Messenger of Allah was crying. And he kissed the forehead of Uthman ibn Ma'zun radiallahu anhu, and he said, the dunya did not touch Uthman, and Uthman did not touch the dunya. Now, out of the 10 who were guaranteed Jannah, these 6 of them embraced Islam on the hand of Abu Bakr. Now imagine this. Throughout the world currently, as we talk now, there will be tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, mentioning these people's name, being inspired by them, being drawn closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through their mention. Can you imagine every single person who is inspired by these individuals, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gets the reward? And this has been happening for 1400 years. Not just now, 1400 years people have been inspired by these individuals. Abu Bakr lies in his grave and he gets the entire reward for every single person who's inspired by these individuals. And if, subhanAllah, that is really investing in your akhirah. Da'wah. And this was Abu Bakr's individual da'wah. How was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's open da'wah? So one on one. Abu Bakr is known to be the first khatib in the history of Islam. Nobody gave the da'wah before Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. The first one ever. He went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Messenger of Allah, when there was approximately 30 plus individuals, He went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, let's give the dawah open." Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No, too early, we're too weak, it's not a good idea." He went again and he insisted until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the permission. So they go, he stands by the Kaaba. What would happen, every clan would have their place where they would sit. And he knew the time that they would all gather and the leaders would gather. So he reached the Kaaba where when all of them were sitting there, they're having their gatherings. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and there's a few Muslims there with him as well. And he starts giving the open dawah, the first khatib in the history of Islam. The mushrikeen, when they see this, they set upon the Muslims. They begin to beat the Muslims, but with a special focus on Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And they begin to beat him. And there's a man called Utba bin Rabi'a. Utba bin Rabi'a took off his shoe, he had a heavy shoe, and he began to smack the face of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Understand, Abu Bakr was very respected. He was very loved. But when it came toward the deen, you know, these people were unsparing. So he beats Abu Bakr until the narrations mention that he was beaten so severely that you couldn't even recognize him. They said you couldn't tell the difference between his nose and his mouth. That's how his face had swollen. His tribe, his clan, the Bani Taim, when they heard, they came rushing and they jumped to his rescue. Now, the Bani Taim, the vast majority weren't Muslims. But you remember, Unsur Akhaka Zaliman or Madluman, assist your brother, may he be a Zalim or Madlum. That's how it worked. So they carry him home. They are sure he's going to die. The Bani Taim come back into the Kaaba and they make announcement. If he dies, then we will kill Utba bin Rabi'a. Utba was known to be a warrior. Okay? If we die, we will kill Utba bin Rabi'a. What happens is that the clan are sitting there, they're waiting for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to get better or to die, one of the two. And after a while, he comes around. The first thing he says, "Ma fa'ala Rasulullah." He said, "How is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" Now, the Bani Taim are quite upset, obviously. Why? Because they're thinking he was beaten because of this individual. He's in the state because of this individual. We're here to cover his back. And instead of asking about anything else, he asks about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And really, Allah, this indicates, you know, the ikhlas of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr had nothing to gain materialistically from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was richer than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was already a Sayyid in the Qawm. He was loved and respected by his qawm, but this was his love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Bani Taim all leave, they're upset, they all left. Now his mother says, "My son, have something to eat, drink something, you know, put something." And he says, "How is the Messenger of Allah?" She said, "I don't know, just have something to eat." He said, "No, tell me how the Messenger of Allah is. Go to Umm Jameel." Now who is Umm Jameel? Umm Jameel is the sister of Umar ibn al-Khattab. She was one of the first people to embrace Islam. Her real name is Fatima. So you go to Umm Jameel. Now Umm Jameel is obviously concealing her iman. Her brother is Umar ibn al-Khattab. So she goes to Umm Jameel and she says to Umm Jameel, she says, "How is Muhammad?" My son is asking. He said, "I don't really know this man Muhammad and I don't really know your son Abu Bakr. But if you want, I will come and I will see and speak to him." So she goes to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, she sees his state and she can't control herself. She curses the mushrikeen. And then he asks, "How is the Messenger of Allah?" So she obviously indicates, "Your mother's here, your mother's not a believer." So he says, "It's all right, so you can speak in front of my mother." She says, "He's fine." So where is he? She says, "He's in Darul Arqam." Then the mother again comes now, mothers are mothers, mother comes, "Can have something to eat, have something to drink." He said, "By Allah, I will not taste anything. I will not eat or drink anything until I see the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Now he's nearly beaten to death. And this was his love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then Umm Jameel and his mother, discreetly, they take him to the Darul Arqam. And when he goes in, The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees him. The Messenger of Allah jumps up. He begins to cry. He begins to hug him and kiss him. I say here, you know, Abu Bakr, when he saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he forgot all his pain. His pain went away. Everything he forgot, because the love that Abu Bakr had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is unprecedented. You know, Imam Shafi rahimullah says, "Marid al Habib, fa'udtuhu fa'mariztu min husni alay, fa'shufi al Habib, fa'adani fa'shufi'tu min nazari alay." It says, "Marid al Habib, fa'udtuhu." He said, "My Habib became ill, and I went to visit him. And when I saw my Habib in this ill state, out of grief, I became ill as well." He said, "Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave shifa to my Habib. He got better. And then my Habib, my beloved, came to see me. Seeing my Habib in a healthy and good state, I became better." This was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's state. Abu Bakr, when he saw the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, seeing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a better state, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu got better as well. You know, subhanAllah, look at Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Look at this. He embraces Islam and he begins the da'wah. Unstoppable. That iman was the iman which propelled him not to sit but to get up. And the best people, out of the 10 best people of this ummah, 6 of them embraced Islam on the hand of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And then the first khatib, the man to stand up to be beaten up for his religion, the first open caller in the history of Islam was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. You know, and then look at his love for the message of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is really, you know, this is the life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Wallahi, you know, is an inspiration. Weakest in body, but the strongest in the iman, as the Sahaba radiallahu anhu defined it. Weak body, not a big individual, but open khatib, ready to be beaten for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us the ability to be inspired by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his status. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Zakumullah khairan for watching. And please do not forget to watch the next episode. And inshallah, with your du'as, there will be plenty more history series coming very soon. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.